This morning, I've got a message that is probably, I feel as strong about this message as I've felt about any message I've preached in quite some time, actually. And I was a little bit, sometimes I begin to question myself and I'll begin to second guess myself. And then lo and behold, we're in the adult life group this morning, which if you don't come to life groups, you need to. You need to. It's doing life together. But as we sat in adult life groups this morning and Larkin was leading the conversation, and he keeps on, I'm thinking, Larkin, you don't keep on till you done got over on my message, brother, and you don't have to back off, you know. I think it's just the Lord putting his hand of confirmation upon the entire service this morning. But this morning I want to preach to you a message that I've entitled Pigs, Lipsticks, and Butterflies. Okay? Pigs, lipstick, and butterflies. Elaine, I couldn't help but think of you. Not, and it's not that she's a pig. Jerry thinks she's a butterfly, I'm sure. But she sells lipstick, okay? That's why I thought about her. But I found this particular graphic to use this morning. But if you have your scripture with you, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. And if you don't, you're by all means, you can follow along on the overhead this morning. But Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. Paul writing to that church at Rome, he said, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy," let me pause while I'm reading. I like to take my time reading. Notice who Paul's writing this to. He says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters." That means Paul was writing to people of like mind, people that were followers of Christ. He said, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And you're going to see there, or as I preach this message unfolds this morning, there is a contrast between conforming and transformation, or to transform. He said, then, which means following after, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Father, as we come to you today, Lord, I thank you for every person that is in this room. I thank you for every person that is watching and listening today, or that may be listening to this message later on. God, I thank you for allowing me to bring forth your word for this hour, this season. Lord, I count it an honor that you would use somebody, Lord God, seemingly weak and insufficient as I am. But God, we know that you said that you, Lord, you will use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So I thank you, Lord, for using this vessel this morning. And I pray that, Lord, that you'll anoint every person that hears, anoint their ears, equip their ears to hear what you have to say. For Lord, we need to hear from your word and your spirit this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we go into this message this morning of pigs, lipstick, and butterflies, I want you to understand with me that God has a purpose for man. He has from the beginning. When we go back into the book of Genesis and we read these verses of scripture that are somewhat familiar to anyone that's read the Bible to any great extent, or even heard Bible stories, we've heard the story of creation, and God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, us being his person in the fullness, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, and in the birds of the sky, and over the livestock, and over the wild animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image, and to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." God exists in the place that God exists that we tend to think of as heaven. But God created in creation. God created the earth. He created everything in the solar system, everything in the galaxies that exist. God created. He is the creator of all. But He created earth, and we know, at least to the reaches of our knowledge, the earth is His creation in a specific manner, and there's no other place that we're really aware of that an intelligent form of being exists, and we're called humanity, and we're called people, and we are the people that God set upon the earth, and He gave man dominion over the earth. In other words, God said, I'm creating and then I'm creating to oversee the creation. And God has set humanity and He says set mankind over the earth and throughout the earth and all around the globe today has been ever since creation there is humanity. And it's our purpose to maintain heaven as people, but it is our purpose to maintain earth. It is our purpose to be God, if you would, operating and working through us. God's presence inhabits the earth through us, His people we call the church. As we go on into this, we see that the psalmist also alluded to the purpose of man because Psalm, and I'm sorry for the misspelling there, Psalm is the continuation, if you would, of Genesis in this particular instance. Because the psalmist said, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? Have you made them you have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor? You have made them rulers and the works of your hand. You put everything under their feet, all the flocks and the herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea and all that swim in the paths of the sea. You see, what all this says to us from Genesis to the Psalm, it says to us that God didn't create man for heaven, but man is created for the earth. Not simply for the earth itself, but for the creation that would inhabit the earth, because we are set here as the church to glorify God and to edify lifted up. He will draw all men close to Him. So we are established. We are here for a reason and a purpose to glorify God in all the earth, which is, if you would, true worship. That is true worship. That we glorify God in all the earth. There's nothing wrong with what we do on Sunday morning. In fact, it's very appropriate. But we have to realize that worship goes beyond what happens in a 20, 30 minute or it's like last weekend when we were at that youth conference and maybe we had an hour, an extended time of what we call worship. Worship goes far beyond that. Worship is our daily walking and talking and glorifying God in all that we do in our lives. That is true worship. When we glorify God in all the earth. But what we have to be careful about, Paul warned against that temptation in the scriptures that we took out of Romans this morning. You see, conforming means to, it speaks of relating or complying with standards or expectations. Compliance, if you would, is a synonym of conformity. Conformity used in the text that we used this morning and from Romans is actually comes from a word schema in the Greek. Schema is the same word that scheme come from, or a plan, if you would. But what that speaks of is an outward fashioning. An outward fashioning. It speaks of actions, patterns, behaviors, and designs that are put in place to achieve the expectations of an outside source, if you would. Sometimes we will act a certain way just to please somebody. Sometimes we will dress a certain way just to please somebody. And that's not entirely wrong. You know, I appreciate it when my wife, she dresses to please me and she dresses me to please her. Some of y'all didn't catch that. I appreciate it as pastor when you all do things to try to please me. I appreciate it. And there's nothing wrong with that in given in the proper sense, if you would. But we're talking about our relationship with God here. We're talking about our worship of God. And in talking about our worship of God, we must be really careful that our Christian walk does not exist or consist of conformity, because what conformity says is we are just finding ourselves in a pattern or a fashion, if you would. And, you know, you're probably getting a little bit where my pig's lipstick and butterflies is going to this morning. But the truth of the matter is our Christian experience is not about being able to conform to whatever Christian identity has been painted in your life or my life, not rules and regulations that have been set. And understand me, there's nothing wrong. And there are Christian disciplines, but those disciplines are not what makes us Christians. Because we can adhere to conformity. You know, I'm a firm believer. I can do most. I won't say everything, but most. I can do most everything that I want to for a certain period of time. I can do it for a little while. You know, I can say that I'm going to be anti-soda pop, and I can say I'm going to be anti-soft drink. I'm convicted by that, and I'm going to join this religion that says that you can't drink soft drinks, and I can do without Diet Dr. Pepper for a little while. But that's bringing myself into a conformity, and sooner or later I'm going to fall weak, or I'm going to get tired of that religion that I'm in, and I'm going to break over, and I'm going to get back to the manna from heaven, Diet Dr. Pepper, and I'm going to have me some. Okay? You see, because conformity is us shaping ourself. It's conformity is a self-discipline, if you would. And Paul warned against that as he wrote to this church at Rome. So conformity is outward, but transforming is inward. You see, because it's an inward work where conformity is an outward work. You know, we can put lipstick on the pig, but it's still the pig. Okay? We put lipstick on the pig. Go over, if you got a pig, you want some lipstick, go see Miss Elaine after service. She runs the counter over at Belts. She would appreciate your business. She put some Clinique on the pig, but it's still a pig. And what happens, conformity is speaking to that outward. But transformation becomes inward. And what happens to us in this transformation process, conformity is fleshly, transformation is a God work. Conformity is going to be temporary. Conformity will always be temporary. That's why when people say, well, I've stopped this, or I've quit this, or I've changed this habit, or I broke this habit. Listen, and that's the subject of our life group, is developing new habits. And there's nothing wrong with that. Developing habits, developing disciplines, they're all good. But understand that from the spiritual aspect, conformity is not what makes us right with God. But we can go through the practice of conformity, but we will never really have that relationship that we need with God. And what will happen is we will get tired of conformity. We'll get burnt out on conformity, because the nature of us is to do what is against God. That's the nature of the flesh. And even though we can bring this flesh under subjection by our own efforts for a little while, it's not lasting. We need the regenerative power of the Holy Spirit to come in and do a work in our life and to change us, to change our thoughts, to change our thinking, to change our preferences, to change everything that there is about us. And that brings us to a transformation, not just conformity. So conformity is temporary, because it's a works thing, where transformation is lasting, because it's this not a makeup, it's a makeover. A pig is always a pig, no matter how much lipstick and rouge and pearls you put on that pig. It's always a pig. The only way you can change a pig is, well, you know what you do, and then you go buy the bacon. And I like it when pigs transform into bacon. You know, bacon's one of my favorite beverages. You know, I can drink a gallon of bacon. But when God does a work in our life, it's a work that occurs from the inside out. But what conformity is religion. You say, well, wait a minute, man, we're in church. And Christianity is a religion. And you're right, you are in church, and or you're watching church. And you're right, Christianity is a religion. It's one of thousands of religions in the world. But let me tell you what, Christianity is the only quote-unquote religion that has a Jesus that bled and died on the cross, that was born of a virgin, bled and died on the cross, was buried in the grave, and was there 3 days and rose again. And people saw Him after He rose, and He walked with them, and He talked with them all along the way. And then they watched Him ascend into heaven, and He said, I'll send you another Comforter, and His name is the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to send His abiding presence, which is My Spirit with you, and He is going to dwell with you until I come again. That's the difference. And religion tends to conform, whereas transformation is to change inside. You see, the power of transformation, transform means to change, literally change in form. It means to change in appearance, and it means to change in structure. It means a metamorphosis, or to metamorphosize, and to change in conditions, to change the nature, or to change the character, or to convert. I'm still, call me old school if you want. I don't really care if you do. It's not going to hurt my feelings. But I still believe in, behold, all the old things have passed away, and everything becomes new when we have entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about us trying to conform to a pattern, but it's us being transformed by the power of His Holy Spirit. So we find that religion's tendency is to conform. You see, what happens with religion, religion sets rules, regulations, and stipulations. And the reality of it is, and I'm not like one prominent pastor said here a while back, and I really think his statement was taken out of context. I'm not saying that the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, or all of the ministry that came forth in the Old Testament, I'm not saying that it's invalid and void. I'm not saying that at all. But understanding what the law couldn't do, and the law were the rules and the regulations and the stipulations of God. And the law was there, the Bible speaks of it itself. It says the law, what the law could not do, Christ did do. Well, you know, you could, if you and I, and if we could memorize the Ten Commandments, and we could practice the Ten Commandments and live by the Ten Commandments and do all the Ten Commandments, not just 9 and a half, but if we did all 10 of them, all 10 of the Ten Commandments, it wouldn't make us right with God, and it wouldn't make us that we've had a relationship with God. It would just mean that we're conforming to the commandments that He's given. But you see, the purpose of the commandments is there that because we can't keep those commandments. The commandments convict our heart and tell us, I'm not able to conform to the righteousness of God. So I must be transformed by His Holy Spirit. And then He begins to deal with us through and by the commandments, through and by the law. The law in the New Testament is referred to as the schoolmaster. It's what brings us to that point of salvation. And the Holy Spirit deals with our life. And the Holy Spirit convicts us. And we realize, I can't do this by myself. I can't conform to what Christ is calling me to be. I can't do this on my own. But I must be transformed by the power and the working of Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed on His cross. That will change me. So religion sets rules, it sets regulations. Religion says, if I do this, then I will achieve this. It says, if I do a little bit better here, I'm going to be a little bit better person over here. If I can do, you know what? Religion says to us, that, and most people, everyone, even the greatest of Christians, embedded deep down into the church somewhere, there's still that work of the Pharisee that's still there. And somewhere down deep within us, you can still find just a little glimpse or a little glare. But what we think is the better we are, the better Christian we are. The more we do to conform ourselves, the more we're saved. When the reality of it is, if we are in relationship with Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. You ain't going to get any more saved than you are saved. Okay? Now, there's works that follow. You know, your faith without works, my faith without works is dead, and there's things that we can do. But understand this. My salvation is not because of some conformity that I've made. It's not because of some development I made. It's not because I quit doing this or I quit going there. It's not by works. Because if it was by works, I'd go around and I would boast about it and I'd say, look what I've been able to do. Look what I quit doing this. I quit going here. I quit going there. I'll just tell y'all, I'm going to be very transparent with you this morning. I had issues when I was in my late teen years. I had some issues. I still got issues, and I'm 57 years old, and I still got issues. I know none of y'all have issues. But I had some habits. I had some difficulties. I had some problems, and I got in some trouble. I got in some trouble at 17 years old. I got in some trouble. And when I was addressed by my high school principal about the trouble I was in, my response to him, and it was true. He said, I heard that you are delving back into so and so and so and so. I said, oh, Mr. Carney was my principal. I said, Mr. Carney, I said, who told you that? But it was true. I said, who told you that? He said, well, just a little bird told me that you were seen at the football game. I said, Mr. Carney, you need to understand, man, I am going to church now. I've joined the youth group. I've been going to youth rallies. I've been going here and I've been going there. And I've been doing all kinds of stuff. I've been doing good. I'm better. I'm a good boy now because I go to church. He said, well, I'm glad to hear that. He said, because I was hoping what I heard about you wasn't true because you know we've been down this road before. You know what? I was lying through my teeth. I was lying to him through my teeth in one sense, but on the other hand, I was telling him the truth because I was going to church and I was in youth group and I was playing on the praise band and I was doing all these things. But let me tell you something. I had a conformity on the outside I was wearing. Man, back then, I'm telling you what, that was the 70s and some of y'all, you younger ones, you can just Google it and you can figure it out. Man, I was wearing leisure suits with the cuffs turned up on the outside and your shirt collar went on the outside of your lapel on your jacket, and I had platform shoes. Back in the 70s with the assistance of platform shoes, I was 5'7". Woo! Glory to God. Wish I was there again. I'm waiting for them to come back. I'm waiting on them to come back. But you know what? I was conforming. But I remember one old fella, his name was Dallas. An old brother Dallas. A little old skinny man all humped over his suit. Coat was about two sizes too big for him, and every morning he'd come in and he had a grip like Tarzan would have, and he would grip my hand with that big old firm grip, and he'd look right at me, he'd say, hey boy, are you living for Jesus? And I'd look at him and lie again, and I'd say, yeah, Brother Dallas, I'm living for Jesus. Are you sure you're on the firing line? And somehow I believe that old brother Dallas knew that I was fake. Fake's a nice way to put hypocrite. I was going through motions. I was going through. Listen, the pig had lipstick on. I was the pig. I had my lipstick on. I had my pearl on and the daisy on my hair. For those of you that can see the picture. But I was going through a conformity. There had not been a change that had taken place in my life. You see, we tend to think that sometimes that's our job. Religion tells us, even as a church, that our job is to try to make bad people good and make good people better, and we're just going to make the world a better place. And though I think there's value again in doing all of those things, and there's good for the church. But listen, the church is more than just making bad people good or good people better or trying to make the world a better place. The church is our job, our responsibility as the church, as a body here in this building, but us as the church as a whole, our responsibility is to glorify God in all the earth, and we do that by allowing ourselves to be transformed by the working of the Holy Spirit and not just trying to conform ourselves to some pattern or some routine that is going to make us looked upon as we're somebody or someone that is godly and holy. Transformation is powerful. Religion produces Pharisees. Pharisees beget Pharisees. Sheep beget sheep. Pigs beget pigs. Dogs beget dogs. We will produce what we are. Religion will produce Pharisees. Paul warned Timothy about a powerless form of godliness that would unveil in the world if you go to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. It's a people. He said, Timothy, before the end comes, he said, there's going to be a people that are going to, and I'm paraphrasing this, but there's going to be people that are going to go through the motions, they're going to go through the actions, they're going to be able to walk, and they're going to have the talk, and they're going to have all this, but they're going to deny the power of God. You see, it's a people of conformity and not a people of transformacy. And while that transforming is inward, the Lord said this, He said to the Pharisees, He said, you Pharisees, you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness. You're a foolish people. Did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? I took my wife's car. She says it's not her car, it's our car, but she's the one who drives it all the time. I took my wife's car, our car, and I'll to the car wash the other day. And we washed all the salt and stuff off of it and cleaned it up a little bit just so it can snow again, you know. Outside of it, looked pretty good, man. I scrubbed it real hard. And it's a white car and shows every little speck. And I cleaned it fairly good considering the time of year it is. We got that thing to drive on back to the house because we went to the car wash. As I was driving back to the house, I got alarmed because I thought that there was a forest fire. The inside of the windows was so dirty it looked like as the whole place was smoked up. I didn't vacuum the car and I didn't clean the windows. You know what? You ride by our house, that little white Volkswagen sitting up there, and the outside of that car is clean, but please don't look at the inside of it. You know, some of you sitting here, and you know, you're thinking, oh, he would say that about my house. Or he'd say that about my car. I'm not going to look at your house. I'm not interested in you looking at your car. But you know, sometimes we clean up the outside. So how many times have you been running late for work and you get up and you don't have time to take a shower, so you just poof your hair up, put a little armpit perfume on, and head on out the door and you make everything look good. You know what I mean? And about 3 o'clock, everybody, some people don't start realizing, you know, they may have poofed their hair up, but I'll tell you what they didn't do. Yeah, but you see, our experience is not about conforming to a pattern. It's not about conforming to laws. It's not about conforming to regulations. But it is about being transformed. It's not about cleaning up an outside and leaving the inside dirty. It's about us being changed from the inside out. Relationship brings transformation. Transformation, as Paul used it, there in that verse of Scripture out of Romans, actually, the word in the original text in the Greek is metamorpho, which actually is metamorphosis, which means transformation. And it means adjusted behavioral patterns. It's speaking of that spiritual metamorphosis. It's speaking of a renewing of the mind. In Jeremiah chapter 17, if you go back and you study that chapter, you'll find that man that trusts in his own flesh is cursed. If we're trusting in our own ways and doing, we are cursed. And the heart of man, Jeremiah teaches us, is desperately wicked. But the man that trusts the Lord and establishes his hope in Jesus Christ, Jeremiah lets us know, is a blessed man. So it's not about what I can do. It's not about what I can accomplish. It's not about what you can do or have done or can develop in your life. But it's about what Jesus can do from the inside out. You can put lipstick on the pig, and it's still a pig. But transformation is the key to discovering. Transformation is the key to discovering our relationship with Jesus Christ and His will. You see, religion conforms, relationship transforms. You put lipstick on that old pig. Let me tell you, we used to raise hogs when I was a boy. We had over 100 chickens at one time. We kept everybody in eggs. We raised hogs. We corporately, the whole, my dad's whole family, sometimes we'd raise about a dozen hogs every year. I had me a pet hog. Penelope was her name. No offense. Penelope was her name. She was our pet hog. I hated to see old Penelope go. She sure tasted good on up in the winter. But we raised hogs. And let me tell you something. I can remember in the summertime when it would get real hot. I can remember Daddy going out there taking a water hose and running the water over them hogs because it's getting real hot. Hot weather's hard on hogs. And them things, big old white hog, they'd be real clean after you run that water on. You know, first thing they would do, they'd go right back to the mud. You can put a ring in their nose to keep them from rooting. The first thing they'll try to do is root. You can do whatever you want to do with hogs. You can feed a hog whatever you want to feed them. You can dress them up. You can put the lipstick, the bow ties on them, all that, the necklaces, whatever you want to do. But let me tell you what, the hogs always going to have a tendency to want to go back and eat the slop. You can put lipstick on the pig, but it's always going to be a pig. But here's the thing. The butterfly starts out life as some little green, speckled, slimy worm. And not too many of us in this room like worms. Some of you may, but most people don't like worms. The exception may be those of you that like to fish, and the only reason you like a worm then is because it's good bait. On the butterfly, because the caterpillar, because the caterpillar is going to eventually go into a cocoon. And the process of going into that cocoon is that caterpillar is going to stay there, and we can't always, listen, it's not always, we really can't see what happens inside that cocoon with that butterfly. We really don't know what's going on in that little sack, that little pouch. We don't have a clue. We know the result, but we really don't have a clue. And somehow that little old green speckled slimy worm with a thousand legs and the little horns sticking up on it, he goes into that sack, and while he's in that sack, there's a work goes on that nobody can see. You know, and that's just like the work that God does in our life. You see, when the transformation work of the Holy Spirit occurs in our life, it occurs in such a way, I may not see it, and you may not see it, and it may take a while for it to come forth, but eventually, that little sack is going to start splitting, it's going to start busting open, and what comes out is not a worm, and it doesn't have 1,000 legs, and it's not slimy, and it doesn't have speckles, and all like that, but what busts out of that cocoon is a butterfly. A totally different creature than what went in. And you see, that is a work of transformation. You could put wings on a caterpillar and it's still not a butterfly. Just like you put lipstick on a pig. It's still a pig. You put wings on a caterpillar and you got a caterpillar with a set of wings. But transformation takes place. A work happens. A work that is not necessarily seen to the human eye. A work that happens miraculously, blossoms out. And it has wings to fly. And it's a brand new creature. It's a brand new creature. Unlike it was before. In fact, if you didn't know better, and if science and biology or whatever the course may be hadn't taught us so, if you'd have said, well, butterflies used to be caterpillars, you know, and you say, this right here, this caterpillar, someday it's going to be a butterfly. I look at you and say, you're out of your mind. I'll say, what hall are you been up in buying that clear stuff? You know, well, you've been smoking. You're out of your ever loving mind. There's no way that grungy worm is going to become a beautiful butterfly. You know, the tendency most people is to step on a worm. Do you know that? Caterpillars I'm certain somehow they have this instinct that they're just waiting on some big old shoe sole to set right down on them and squeeze them. Because they're considered a nuisance. They're considered a pest. But you know what? The butterfly doesn't have to worry too much about somebody wanting to step on it and kill it. In fact, there's preserves, and there's one out there in Tennessee at Dollywood Theme Park. They have a butterfly preserve. Just a room full of butterflies. One of the big issues over, you know, this wall, whether you agree with it or not, that's not what the point I'm making. But one of the issues about building this wall out in South Texas is along the Rio Grande there is it's a butterfly habitat. Butterflies are beautiful creatures. They don't really have an enemy per se. In fact, people like to look at them and behold them for the most part. Whereas back in the day when they were a worm, they were detestable. See, you can put lipstick on the pig. Pig's still a pig. He's going to go back to the slop. He's going to go back to the mud. And he's always going to be a pig. And someday, he's going to be eaten. By somebody like me that really likes bacon. Or ham. Or sausage. See, the pig with lipstick is nothing more than trying to conform the pig. To make it look like something that it really is not. To try to put wings on the caterpillar would be to try to conform the caterpillar. But when it goes through the process of being in the cocoon, it's not conformed, but it's transformed. See, religion is us trying to conform ourselves to a pattern that's going to please God. But all the time He knows that our hearts have not been made right. And we can't discern what the will of God is because our hearts are not right. But when we say, God, I want a relationship with You. And I want my heart to be made right with You. And I pursue my heart, I give it to You. I pursue You. He begins to do that unseen transformation. And however long the process is, someday the butterfly comes out. So this morning, as amusing as it may sound, or as crude as it may sound, we can either be a pig with lipstick on. We can try to conform ourselves. Or we can say, Lord, I'm a caterpillar. I need Your transformation power. I need to go into Your cocoon. And I need to come out changed. Where I can spread my wings and I can fly. And I can be the beautiful creature that You intended for me to be. Because it's lasting. See, the butterfly is full of grace. The butterfly is full of beauty. That's what God wants to do in your life. What He wants to do in my life. you bow your heads for me for just a moment? I just want to ask you a question without embarrassment. But if you're here this morning and you've tried to conform yourself, let me tell you one more little story. You can just keep your heads bowed, but let me tell you one more little story. I told you about when I went to that youth group. I told you about when that old brother Dallas used to walk in and grab my hand every Sunday morning, and he'd look me right square in the eye. I told you about all of that. I was struggling. The Holy Spirit was convicting me during that time. But I wasn't sure I could be a Christian. Because, see, my concept of Christianity was conformity. I wanted to put lipstick on the pig. And I would go out nearly every single day as that 17-year-old boy. I would go out to the barn at my dad's place. The old barn's still there. Same old tractor still there, and still about 3 inches of dust in the floor. And I would get down in the dust. I can remember getting up on hot summer days, and I would be, my skin would be brown where I was so sweaty. I would go out there and I would beg God, and I would plead with God, and I'd say, God, if you will help me to be able to live like I'm supposed to be living, then I will serve you. I need to quit my cussing. I need to quit all the other stuff that I'm doing. I need to stop that, God. When I know I can do it, then I'll come to you. Let me tell you something. That never happened. God never answered that prayer. Because you can't put lipstick on a pig. So I said, God, one night, never will forget it, was a Tuesday night in March. And I was laying under my old hot rod car and I was working on it. And I said, God, I give up. I'm ready to surrender. I can't do this. I can't do this. And I come somehow, but I came to a realization, God, I can't do this on my own. I got to have you to do it. And I made my way. It was late that night before I got there, but I made my way to some dear friend's house. And as I got to my dear friend's house, and I sat and talked to them, and they said, do you want to be saved? I said, absolutely. That's why I came here, but I don't know how to do it. And we made an altar out of a coffee table. And as we made an altar out of a coffee table, I quit worrying about trying to conform myself, to make myself be a Christian. And I became a Christian because I was transformed by the working of the Holy Spirit that night. And I've been a work in progress ever since. So if you're here this morning, or if you're watching and the lipstick is on the pig, and you've been trying real hard to be that good person, you've been trying real hard to be that Christian, you've been trying to real hard, you've been crossing the T's and you've been dotting the I's, and you haven't been going here and you haven't been going there, and you haven't been wearing this and you haven't been wearing that, and all you've been going through all of these exercises and measures, but you're still really, you're finding no peace. The lipstick is on the hog. Let me tell you what we need to do. We need to lead you this day, today is the day of salvation, lead you into a relationship with God that's going to transform you. The caterpillar goes into the cocoon and he comes out a beautiful butterfly. So this morning, butterfly, if you're in this place, or if you're watching, God wants to transform you today by the power of Jesus Christ and the working of the Holy Spirit. So in this room, is there one person in this room says, with such, preacher, I've just been going through religious practices. I've been going through routines. I've been going through ordeal. I'm trying to move along here. Trust me, I'm trying to move along, but I feel like I got to stress this. A number of years ago, a great friend of mine, a mentor of mine, he went to a young pastor, and this young pastor was a pastor in a prominent church movement, a prominent denomination. And he went to that young man, and he was just being inquisitive. He said, "So young man, tell me, you know, when did you get saved?" And that this pastor looked at this old fella, and he said, "Quite honestly, sir, I don't ever remember being saved. I've just always done this all of my life." Listen, it's not about learned behavior. It's not about conformity. It is about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're in this room, maybe you've never been saved before. Maybe you've backslidden on God. Maybe you've drifted far away from Him. But if you're in this room right now, you've been trying to conform. Maybe you were rocked on the church pew. Maybe you were born on the church pew. Maybe you've done everything that you were instructed and told to do all of your life, but you're lacking something. You're lacking that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you in this place this morning, without embarrassing you in any way, I promise you I won't do that. I want you to slip up your hand and say, "Pastor, pray for me. Thank you." Is there any more? Are there any others in this room? Church, look at me. It's time to let the pig wallow in its own mire. But it's time for the caterpillar to go into the cocoon. And I want to invite every single one of you that would like to, I want you to join me right up front right now. If you raise your hand in this place this morning, I want you to know that today could be your deciding point. This can be the day that you decide. It's not about conforming myself to anything, but it's about coming to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ will make you walk right. Jesus Christ will make you talk right. Jesus Christ will make you live right. Jesus Christ will change you, but He will change you from the inside out. That's what He wants to do. So I'm going to ask everybody that can and will to join me right now. Visitors, you're welcome to join us by all means. And we're going to come together for a few moments of prayer. And if you slipped up your hand in this place this morning, you're one of those people. Today, I want you to pray and I want you to ask the Lord, through the working of a relationship with Him, to transform you into what He wants you to be. That butterfly. Some butterflies are orange and black. I think that's the monarch. There's some that are blue. There's some that are yellow. Not all butterflies look the same. In fact, no two butterflies look the same. And Jesus is not about making us into cookie-cutter Christians. But He is about transforming us into His design and what He wants particularly for us. So right now, right where you're at, I just want you to reach your hands to heaven if you so choose. And I just want you to begin to pray and ask God to help you stray away from conformity and ask Him to do a transformational work in your life right now.